Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. Hello and welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. Now, today's episode, I've really wanted to strip down, when should you speak or chat to a GP? Now, these are such invaluable frontline health professionals. Now, it could be you asking as an individual or a mother, a father, a parent, a grandparent, but I really wanted to highlight some situations where it can be so incredibly important not to ignore certain symptoms or presentations and to actively seek some advice and guidance. So this actually happens a lot as a pharmacist. So patients come in and we can filter as to what we can safely help with and when it is that you need to see a GP. Now, I am very, 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 very passionate about increasing health literacy within the community. Now, especially about perinatal mental health conditions, but also about all health conditions as well. I feel like there are so many things that as health professionals we look out for, that we can advise about, that we can help with in terms of managing or treating or looking after. But if we're keeping this information to ourselves and we're not sharing it with the general public, then I do feel like we're not encouraging or enabling having an optimum outcome for healthcare, really. So I feel like this particular platform of a podcast being able to reach perhaps more people or other people that I ordinarily wouldn't in the practice that I do, then this is something certainly where I'm hoping to enhance health literacy. And so this particular area of knowing when to go to your GP, I think is a very, very important thing to bring up. So for those of you that actually have been following along, you might be thinking this sounds very much like episode 11, but that episode was actually how can a pharmacist help me? So in that particular episode, I run through what exactly a pharmacist does, the top reasons to chat to your pharmacist, what exactly they do, you know, in terms of being able to help you. And yeah, I really just nut out when exactly to speak to a pharmacist. So certainly hop on to episode 11 if you wanted to hear that, if you haven't heard that as yet. But this one is definitely focusing on when to speak to a GP. I also am going to go through when you should, when it's appropriate to go to the emergency department, when I guess you shouldn't go to the emergency department, and what to do in an after-hours situation, and also when to call 000. So there's a few different things that I want to get into today. So let's get right in so it's not a hugely long episode. So in Australia, you can see a general practitioner, which is what a GP stands for. And so that area or speciality of medicine is called general practice. Now, these doctors essentially can either bulk bill you or they can only privately bill you. So in a private practice setting, they can privately bill you, or some doctors can offer mixed billing arrangements. So essentially each of these will determine whether you're going to have an out-of-pocket gap payment, and each medical practice and each clinician, they may have different ways in which they bill you, and not just that the price or how they bill you is the only factor to consider. It really isn't. You really want to look at factors like how approachable they are, the logistics, the locality, the you know, ease of getting there, the relationship that you have with them. So certainly, you know, price is not the only thing, but that is something that can be perhaps part of the picture. And I just wanted to really touch on that very, very briefly first, in case you were wondering, what are the different types of billing? Now, the other thing that I found really, really beautiful is to have a long-standing relationship with your GP. It can be such an amazing thing to have. And having that rapport, having that baseline connection with someone that you know, they know you, they know what you're like, then say comparing that to a GP that you've never met before, you're most likely going to feel more comfortable and confident in disclosing your health concerns with someone that you know. And also in regards to, say, mental health conditions where there can be a decline in mood and how you're feeling and changes in weight and behaviors. Sometimes, a lot of the times, it can be quite difficult to recognize that within yourself. And so often it can be very helpful for a loved one, in this instance, a GP, if they notice something, because they know your baseline, they can actually see if there's changes happening. And for me, in the experience of my relationship with my midwife after I had both of my boys, that was something that had I met with her regularly after having my baby versus a random child health nurse coming in each time, I know that my midwife would have known what was happening much earlier. So I feel like that actual establishment of rapport and a connection with someone in a mental health condition is so incredibly important, but not just in that situation, in all situations, in anything where you may need a pap smear, or as a male, if we're talking about erectile dysfunction, if you had a real comfortable, beautiful rapport with a GP, then I do genuinely believe that you're going to be more comfortable and able to speak to them about that and open that dialogue. So that's where I am very much an advocate for having a good relationship with your GP. And I have fond memories of my family GP growing up. I really do. And I am actually a little bit, disappointed in that, because we've moved so much. We've moved all around Australia and, you know, in Sydney, now we're moving again. We haven't established that long-standing relationship with a particular GP for our boys. Of course, we see GPs, we have seen GPs, but, you know, we don't have that beautiful long-standing relationship yet. I love that word, yet. So it gives me hope and opportunity that we can establish that. But certainly that's something that I would love for them, because I know how special it was for me. Anyhow, I digress. I do this a lot. But the common reasons, for instance, that we as pharmacists would refer patients to a GP would be, so one, when you have symptoms that aren't resolving on their own, so whether it be with medication, whether it's over-the-counter or prescription and they're lingering, depending on what those symptoms are, of course, the time frame is going to differ. So for instance, if it's a hay fever symptom, you know, it may be worth trialing an over-the-counter antihistamine or nasal spray or something for a few days to see if you're getting relief. Whereas if you presented with an excruciating headache where you can't open your eyes, you're vomiting, perhaps it's coming back again, again and again, then that would warrant seeing your GP straight away. So there's certainly quite a few factors there. But definitely if symptoms are not getting better, they're not resolving on their own, then certainly it's important to see a GP. Certainly if symptoms are getting worse, that is a big one, that there's no point delaying it. It's important to get a full diagnosis of what it is. For any child that's less than 2 or older than 65, now if people in these age brackets, I guess they're considered more vulnerable, things can escalate very, very quickly. If there are any suspicious symptoms, lingering symptoms, anything that's standing out, they being vulnerable in that category with the chance of it getting worse very fast. And so potentially there can be drug interactions as well. So that is something in the over 65 category. If they have multiple health conditions with medications, certainly if there's any untoward symptoms, then if in doubt, it's always best to go to a GP for a full diagnosis and a consult as well. Now, speaking of children and going deeper into children, as a parent, if you know deep within your gut that something just isn't quite right and you feel it, then I would recommend that you always trust your gut instinct and investigate it further. It's so important. If you know that they're not themselves, then certainly trust that inner instinct. If they've got a rash that looks suspicious, especially if they've got a fever with it, if they've got a bite or a rash and it's spreading and traveling further along their bodies, any type of sharp pains, if they can't keep fluids down, they're not eating, they're having trouble with their vision, if they're feeling really lethargic, they really can't move, if there are any signs of fracture, any signs of a concussion, so, hallucinations or delusions or, seeing things, very dizzy, the headache, you're looking for pain. If with a fracture, for instance, they're not able to weight bear, they're things that perhaps an X-ray or a CT scan can really help to determine what's going on. So also in terms of a little baby, if you're concerned about the growth of your baby, the development of your baby, any issues that you're having with breastfeeding, solid feeding your baby, allergy concerns, nappy rash, if it's, not getting better, it's oozing, it's weeping, it keeps coming back, certainly chat with them. They can definitely ascertain more, and they are a beautiful, amazing wealth of information. So my motto, the motto that I live by is, if in doubt, check it out. And it's cheesy and corny, I know, but that's always been my motto or mantra is, if in doubt, check it out. Another reason would be is if you have other medical conditions, then it is a good opportunity to be able to make sure that the symptoms aren't related or they're not related to a worsening condition or that treatment isn't interfering with that other condition. So I think often with chronic conditions, it can be quite easy to just forget about it and feel like new symptoms have nothing to do with it, but that may not always be the case. And so if there are certainly medical conditions, then it is a great opportunity to, have a good, thorough conversation with your GP. Another beautiful reason to see your GP is for your mental health. Now, if you feel like it is declining in the way you're feeling, your mood, anxiety, depression, insomnia, your GP is the best first, port of call. So to chat about getting a mental health care plan established for you, they can actually refer you to whomever it is that you need to see and what they feel is best for you. So that is something that, again, I mentioned it before, but when you have a good rapport with your GP, it may be so much easier to start that conversation. But having said that, I would encourage you to chat with a GP about your mental health if that is something that is of a concern, and not wait until you have established rapport to start that conversation, because all GPs have the capacity to be able to refer you to where it is that you need to. So, yes. Another aspect, certainly in terms of parenting, if you're feeling like you're not coping, there's low mood, you're more irritable, postpartum rage or mum rage, signs of postnatal depression, then again, my advice is always to chat with your GP. So they're excellent at screening. They know exactly what to ask, where to refer you, what the procedure is, and to be completely open and transparent with how you're feeling and don't hide anything away. If you feel more comfortable to bring a support person with you, then certainly do that. That can help you to really feel more grounded or more comfortable in having that conversation. Certainly, jotting down your questions or concerns on a piece of paper so you feel ready, already armed. If you come with any blood tests or anything that you have on hand, that might be helpful as well. certainly when you find out you're pregnant, seeing your GP is a wonderful first step because they can help with finding out the estimated due date. They can help to review your current health status. They can also order any blood tests that you need, refer you to an obstetrician, and they can really help guide you through the whole parenthood journey. So that's something that's very interesting and exciting. Another reason to see a GP is with all things to do with vaccinations. So they can certainly check the register, ensure that you're up to date. If you're traveling, certainly different regions around the world have certain requirements, certain recommendations of vaccinations and prophylactic immunizations so that you are best protected. Childhood immunizations as well, a lot of practices do those. With the GP, they often have nurses as well. Now, another reason is, so say you've had an injury. So say you've rolled your ankle and you've done the RISA technique and, you know, it's not getting better, then please see your GP so that they can order the appropriate tests. So x-rays, scans, to make sure there's no hairline fracture or anything that, requires more investigation. You might need a moon boot or a cast and you can't see it from the outside. There's skin, it might feel sore and you may try to persevere and show how resilient you are, but sometimes by walking on it and continuing your daily activities, it can make it worse. And what might have healed earlier, it may actually fuse in the wrong position. So whenever, if in doubt, check it out. That is another example of when, and I do this with my children, you know, sometimes I think I err on the side of caution. Ari hurt his arm, you know, maybe a month or 2 months ago, they were playing soccer, he fell on it and it was sprained. But I didn't know that at the time. He was walking, I picked him up from school and was holding it sort of in a 90 degree angle intuitively, naturally. I wasn't even making it obvious that I was watching him just on his own when he thought no one was watching. And so I thought, oh, look, you know, he's not one to complain of pain. So we went straight away and it turned out that it was a sprain and that's probably what I thought had happened. But you know, I didn't want to take a risk. I didn't want to take a chance of it not being investigated properly. Anyhow, so an injury is definitely another one to do that. Now, a fever is certainly anything that's over 38 degrees Celsius, and a fever on its own, that's no reason really to just see the doctor straight away. But certainly when there are other symptoms, if with trying to reduce the body temperature with lukewarm sort of body cloths, wearing lighter fabric and you know, keeping the child or person very hydrated as much as possible, watching for other signs and symptoms, certainly if you're feeling like with even paracetamol, it's not resolving, then definitely see your doctor because the root underlying cause of the fever needs to be investigated. It could be perhaps an abscess in a tooth that you might not feel or know, but a full physical exam and an investigation as to where the infection's coming from is going to be a wonderful thing to do. And I would always say, if in doubt, check it out. Sorry to interrupt your Thrive podcast. I just wanted to hop on quickly to talk about my holistichealingco.com platform. I have created a website with blogs, links to videos on YouTube, all of the podcast episodes and show notes, as well as a shop to purchase my books, guided meditations, and other products. It continues to grow and evolve, containing information from a pharmacist perspective, as well as from an Eastern Ayurveda perspective. Jump on, and I hope you find some resources to help you thrive. Now, back to the episode. Now, other symptoms that people really, you can take it very, very much for granted quite easily. So bloating, a headache, fatigue, long-standing symptoms that don't get better. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm bloated. But I often wonder how often do we actually investigate further as to what is the underlying root cause. And so that is something that it's quite, you know, helpful, I suppose, to write down when it started, what makes it better, what makes it worse, when or what triggered it in the first instance. You know, those sorts of helpful clues are very, very good for a doctor to actually help with looking at the whole picture and finding out what's happening, where it's come from, what the actual issue is. Now, another one, I did mention that for chronic conditions, it's important to go to a GP, but by this, so say for example, you have diabetes, then a GP can certainly ensure that your whole body is going to be well looked after. So they'll make sure that your eyes are checked because there's a chance of retinopathy with diabetes long-term or diabetes that isn't well controlled. So they can refer you to an ophthalmologist. They can make sure that you're seeing your optometrist regularly. They can make sure that your kidneys are being checked regularly from a nephrologist because there's a chance of kidney changes and illness happening from type 2 diabetes and diabetes. They can refer you to a podiatrist to get your feet checked, essentially to check the circulation and make sure that there's no ulcers and no signs of neuropathy and those sorts of things. They can refer you to an accredited practicing dietitian to look at your food, your nutrition choices, your glycemic control, and certainly in conjunction with a pharmacist where we can help you with your medication and your dosing queries and interactions and other health concerns. Certainly with chronic conditions, a GP in your whole team of caregivers and your tribe, I would consider your GP as part of your tribe to be able to hold you when it is that you need it. And so, yes, definitely with chronic conditions. And so GPs are amazing for wound care, for family planning. They can refer you to other specialists, whoever they may be. They can prescribe prescription medication, help with women's health. So, endometriosis, perimenopause, menopause, sexually transmitted diseases, cervical cancer screenings, pap smears. When we're talking about men's health, so prostate health, erectile dysfunction, hair loss, weight changes, mental health, these are all amazing things that a GP can do for you. So in terms of if you have gastro, then certainly it's recommended that you see your GP if you have a fever, if you have severe abdominal pain, if there's any blood in the diarrhea, any signs of dehydration. So signs of dehydration are thirst, a reduced amount of urine output, dry mouth, sunken eyes, dizziness, lethargy. Now, most gastro illnesses should hopefully resolve and pass within 2 to 3 days, but severe cases of gastro and long-standing cases, they actually may need antibiotics. So depending on what's presenting and what the circumstances are, certainly there can be lots of different bacterias that can cause gastro symptoms. And so if it's a little one, if there are signs of dehydration, it is lasting longer than, say, this 48-hour period, then it is certainly worth chatting to your GP about it and getting a good assessment. For a cold, now, according to healthdirect.gov.au, if you or your child have a chronic medical condition, so for instance, asthma or diabetes, then it's so important to see your GP because a cold can actually escalate these health conditions. So it's really important not to delay seeing a GP. And certainly if you have a cold and you can't or won't drink fluids, so this is you or your child vomiting frequently, unable to drink fluids, having an intense headache, if you or your child is pale, feeling sleepy, having chest pain, symptoms are lasting longer than 10 days. So that's the time frame here that we're really looking at thinking, really should have resolved and passed and cleared on its own. Having any breathing difficulties, having a rash with a fever, or if you're worried. These are all instances where Health Direct is advising that with a cold, you should see your GP. Now, conjunctivitis is where the eye gets this bit of mucus, bit of discharge, can be sticky, red, gunky, that type of visual. It's often called pink eye, but conjunctivitis is essentially what it's called here. And it can be caused by a bacterial infection, a viral infection, an allergy, or irritants like dust or chemicals. So unless you know exactly what's caused it, which might be pretty hard to do unless you're a trained ophthalmologist or GP, then definitely it's worth getting it checked out. Now, especially if it's a child or someone who has another condition or if they're immunocompromised. Now, according to the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, it's important to see a GP if your child has conjunctivitis and it's not getting better after 2 days, or if they have severe pain, if they've got any problems with their vision and their eyesight, there's any increased swelling, redness, tenderness in the eyelids or around the eyes, they're generally unwell and has a fever, and if they have persistent white dots in the cornea. So those are the instances with eye conditions where it is advisable to see your GP. Now, dehydration, I touched briefly that it can look so innocuous and benign and as simple as go drink some water to fix it, but it's actually a really, really important one not to ignore. And it can happen as a result of gastro or strenuous exercise, especially in hot weather. So marathon runners, big events like the City to Surf, you'll always have paramedics on the sides, because dehydration certainly can be a very common side effect or effect that happens. With a fever, you can become dehydrated, drinking too much alcohol, being on diuretics perhaps, you know, if the dose isn't correct, or just, you know, if you're sweating more than usual and being on diuretics, it can lead to dehydration and simply not drinking enough water. Now, in young children, if they're not feeding, especially if they're sick and unwell and they're not wanting to take any fluids or drink their milk or anything like that, then definitely it's important to take them to the GP or the emergency room. Now, you may notice I mentioned before, so sunken eyes, decreased urine output, they can be very thirsty, dry mouth, have a fever, they might be a bit confused, a bit of delirium, and they can often be breathing very fast. It's very sort of shallow kind of a breath as well if they're dehydrated. So they're all things to look out for, and it can escalate. It can affect so many different organs that it's really important not to delay that at all. So in my eyes, I see a GP as a wonderful triage service. They are there. They can help to treat what they can. Anything they need to refer out, they do, and they're great at that. So that's something that I would recommend. Now, in an after-hours situation, so you might find yourself in an after-hours situation, then the Health Direct that I mentioned before is an excellent resource. And so it operates 24/7, and a registered nurse talks about your symptoms. And if it's after hours, then they might offer you a callback or a video call from a GP. So their number is 1-800-022-222. So I will link that in the show notes. That's a number that is a very good idea to keep in your phone so that you've always got it there, pop it on your fridge. And so their website is also quite helpful as well. They even have a search functionality where you can find a specific health provider. So you can set all your preferences of what type of billing, what location, what it is that you're looking for, and then it can show you, you know, a recommendation. So that's a great time-saving tool. I really thought that was, quite brilliant thing there. Now, if you're on social media, if social media is something that you like to follow and do and use, then there's a great resource called The Wholesome Doctor. That's her tagline or name that she goes on social media. And her name's Dr. Priya Alexander. Now, she's a GP and she often jumps on lives and, you know, all sorts of posts. And she often jumps on with latest information about health topics and trending topics. And especially in the world of COVID, she often debunked and helped clear information that was happening at the time. And so she's really captivating. I enjoy watching her and following her and listening to her. She's also on the Good Chef, Bad Chef as well. So I used to watch that show when I was little, but she's also on that show. But I will link her in the show notes as well, because she, as a GP and someone that is actively on social media, if that is something that you use and utilize, then that's certainly an excellent resource as well. Now, if you're not entirely sure after hours whether you need to go to the ER or not, or if you should call 000. If you feel like you need to call 000, then, you know, it's obviously an emergency, and I'll go through the reasons when Ambulance New South Wales suggests that you call 000. But if you call that health direct number and get their advice, they might be able to quickly sift and sort and work out, oh, look, that might be okay to the morning or whatever. Or they might put you in touch with a GP that can help you with your problem. Or they might say, no, ring 000 right now. Or they might tell you to go to the emergency department. So that health direct number is something, being 24/7, is a very, very helpful tool. So according to Health Direct, it's very, very important to go to the emergency department in these instances. So injuries from an accident or physical assault or falls. If there are any signs of a heart attack or stroke, if there's severe pain, problems with breathing or bleeding, broken bones, loss of consciousness, worsening of a serious illness, drug overdoses or poisonings, allergic reactions, pregnancy complications, mental illness, burns. Now, those are quite clear cut. That's what the Health Direct direction is, and it's, yeah, quite good. Hopefully that's helpful for you. And Ambulance New South Wales advises calling 000 in these instances, because often it's safer than you rushing to try to get to the emergency department, but also paramedics can treat you at the scene. So that can be a little bit of a time-saving capacity and tool, because often they have everything they need in their vehicles. So that's actually quite a helpful hint as well. So signs of chest pain or tightness, sudden onset of weakness, numbness or paralysis of the face, arm or leg, any breathing difficulties, unconsciousness, uncontrollable bleeding, sudden collapse or unexplained fall, unexplained fitting in adults, and severe burns, especially in young children. So again, very clear-cut, definitive reasons as to when to call 000. Now, another important number that I feel is so important to have on hand in case of, you know, of a mental health condition is a Lifeline. So the number is 13 11 14. This is a number to have on your phone, on your fridge. If you save it as a contact in your phone, it's there. You don't have to Google it. Just search it in your contacts. And also the Poisons Information Centre, which is 13 11 26. And as a mum with small children, it is something to have on your phone as a contact that you just quickly press if you need it, because they can give very helpful, very important information. And in that previous episode, 11, when I discuss about pharmacists, what they do, I go into detail about the Poisons Information Centre, what they do, what sort of questions they'll ask for to really nut down and nut out, how to help you and to give you the best advice. So those are very, very important information to have as well. So I really hope this episode has highlighted or stripped a little bit more down as to what a GP can do and when it's important to see one. I hope that you have taken some beautiful, wonderful, helpful information, when to go to the GP, when to call 000. And I guess my pearl to practice or mindful moment is really two things this week. So the first is to save those contacts, so Lifeline, Health Direct, Poisons Information Centre numbers on your phone as a contact. Three new friends that you have in your contact list. Fantastic. And the second one is to find a GP or research GPs in your area. So if you don't already have one, now is the time when often you don't actually need to find one. You've got time up your sleeve. Then it's actually quite a beautiful time to find out, okay, what is it that I want? And that's a better space to be in than hurrying, trying to Google a doctor, trying to find the first available. You know, finding someone that is going to meet your needs when you have that capacity to research is a very good idea. And not that I would ever recommend that you go see your GP if you don't need to, but I am an advocate for establishing that connection and rapport with your health provider. So my hope is that they become a family member almost, and that they become, not that I mean you marry them, but I mean that they become part of your tribe and they just become someone that you can call upon and use and go to for any health concerns for anyone in your family. So yeah, those are my two pearls to practice this week. So that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.